for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 28th, 1993. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Well, I'll hand this mic to Brother Wes and turn him loose until somewhere close to 5 o'clock.
I like to stand and lift our hands up to the Word, so let's do that. Praise the Lord. And my prayer, well, we'll pray the prayer I want to pray. Hallelujah. No, he's telling you about it. Let's pray it. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord. Father, unless you come and use me, I won't be used. I have no power to use you. And we just acknowledge that you are the source of all truth. You're the source of all healing. You're the source of all deliverance. And none of us are anything apart from you. We just ask you to let your eager love to bless your people be manifest greatly in our midst today, that people might know you deeply. And I thank you for the wonderful message this morning, Father, about knowing you, Lord. I thank you for all that your Spirit's doing, for the using the Dr. Null and the moving among the women upstairs, Lord. And we just thank you for everything your Spirit is doing here on this campground and for everyone that's being used to encourage each other. And I just pray that you'll come and take me over, Father. Let me have that beautiful joy of being used by your Spirit. And we lift up our hands to honor your Word.
Yes.
And we pray that you'll give us ears to hear your precious truth from your wonderful Word. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, before you're seated, turn around and shake hands with three people and tell two or three of them, I'm praying for you. You know, I'm going to perfect you yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you this afternoon on the subject, what God wants to give you. And that's a big subject, so I don't know if we can cover it in one afternoon. But at any rate, I had a thought on our brother's sermon this morning that I just can't resist adding my thought to his sermon here. So let's look at Exodus 33 before I get into my sermon. I just have to say the thought that came to me while he was preaching today. And the scripture said in Exodus 33:7, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. So it wasn't restricted to just Moses and Joshua. Anybody could go there if they wanted to. In verse 8, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As I was reading that, you know, well, they just stood there watching, and the pillar came down and all that, and they stood and worshipped each at the entrance of his tent. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped each at the entrance of the tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Moses would return to the camp, and his young aide Joshua did not leave the tent. I thought, those crazy people. Why did they rise and stand? Why didn't they rise and run to get beside Moses? Let's stop and think about it. If you knew that God was going to appear and you see Moses on the way to the tent meeting, get up, honey, and get after it, amen? Run to that guy. Why rise and stand over on the sidelines watching somebody have a great relationship with God? That's nuts. When everybody could go to the tent of meeting. I tell you, I like people that want to rise and run. Hallelujah. Not run away from God, but run to God. Don't you want to be that kind of person? I don't want you to have this mentality of, there goes Dr. Null at the tent of meeting. Amen. We'll just rise and worship while God meets with him face to face. There goes Brother West to the tent of meeting. We'll just rise and stand here and worship while Brother West talks to God face to face. Nonsense. Amen. Whatever we get to do, you get to do. Hallelujah. Although you get to do the works of Jesus. Lift your hands up and ask God for a full and total revelation of the grace of God today. And get up. Don't just be a participant. You know what I mean? But get after it with God. Get hungry for God. Hallelujah. You can. God wants to use every single one of you. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do." And that's your spiritual birthright. Praise the Lord. All right, now here's my message today. Anyway, I want to rise and run, not rise and stand. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61. And I want to speak on the subject, what God wants to give you. Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Now, when I first got into deliverance, I taught for 20 Wednesday nights every week on deliverance. And the Lord began to show me throughout the scripture different demonic spirits and different bondages, and I began to do deliverance on people based on scriptures, you know. For instance, in this scripture, you see that there is a spirit of despair. There's a spirit of mourning, and there's a spirit of ashes, or devastation is what that means. If you're burned to ashes, you're devastated. A lot of people have devastation in their lives. And so the Lord began to show me all this, and after 20 weeks, he said, "Don't teach on that anymore. Teach on the Holy Spirit." And so I didn't, you know, I just started out. I didn't know that I was going to go 20 weeks on the Holy Spirit. And about 2 weeks into that study, I had a wonderful experience. I've told this last year, but so good, I like to hear it again. Amen. Anyway, I had this young lady came to the services, some of these deliverance services, and she was terribly demonically oppressed. And we'd try to cast stuff out of her, and it would just scream and roar out of her. Might throw her to the ground, might growl out of her. One of my friends had a vision, and in this vision, he saw us trying to put a fence post in the ground without any tools. The Lord said, "I have tools for this." Well, I kept trying to get her delivered because I'm just, that's kind of the way I am. I hate to give up. Amen. I mean, even if I didn't have the tools, I'd want to help her. Well, I couldn't help her very well. And so I thought, I wonder what those tools are. Well, I made an appointment for her to come in a whole day on a Friday. I had another helper there with me. And I wrestled with one particular spirit for her. Nearly 8 hours. I interviewed her for a while, and then we prayed, and it was a spirit of the destruction of men. And it would speak out of her and say it was a son of Lucifer, and that it was going to have many men lined up for Lucifer. She's a very beautiful young lady, and how it was going to use her to destroy the lives of men. And I got the name of that thing, and then it wouldn't come out, so I'd command it to tell why it wouldn't come out, and it would begin to tell the terrible things that her mother and father had done. And I begin to get information out of it, and then we'd repent for the sins of the mothers and fathers. Finally, after about 8 hours, I got that one spirit out. I was exhausted. And so then she'd come back on Wednesday night, and I'd pray for her till like 3 o'clock in the morning, till Thursday morning, you know. I managed to get two or three other spirits out with great difficulty. And one spirit was a spirit of child abuse. Her very first memories were her mother beating her She was beaten. And I couldn't get that spirit of abuse out. It would come up and mock me. And I'd command it to come out, and Jezebel would come up and laugh at me. While I was trying to command one to come out, another one would come out. And I'd command Jezebel to come out, and a stubborn spirit would come out. And they were just playing games with me. And finally they spoke and said, we're too strong for you. We're in a chain, and you can't break this chain. So I thought, well, at least I can find out what's in the chain, and maybe I can find a weak link. Again, I think you have to be persistent, don't you? You have to try. And so I began to command that thing to name every link in that chain. And I got the name of about 28 demons. And they'd come up one after another, take her over, cross the insanity would cross her eyes. Witchcraft would, you know, they would just contort her according to the type of evil spirit that it was. This is a case of real, real demonization. How'd she get that way? She was dedicated to Satan in a Buddhist temple at birth. Her mother and father were generational witches. Father's side was 12 generations of witches. And the mother's side was hundreds of years of Satanism. The Buddhist priests were the highest Satanists in Korea. And that's one of my theories. I believe it's factual that at the head of all false religions, somewhere up at the top, is Satanism. I don't care what false religion it is. Satan wants to have somebody at the top that will do the most heinous crimes to bring a curse down over all the worshipers. And there had been all kinds of murders and tortures and gross things. Every terrible thing that Satanists could do, they did to dedicate her to the devil. And it's not my sermon to try to tell you all the terrible things they did. There was murders and everything you could think of. Many, many murders. Probably over 70 people were killed in that dedication to dedicate her to the devil. And so I made another all-day appointment for her. Wanted to help her, get her free. Remember, I still didn't know the tools now that the Lord had talked to us about. I had stumbled onto one, but I didn't really understand it. In order to get some of these spirits out, we repented for the sins of the mothers and fathers, what they had done. And I didn't really realize that was a tool. But that's one of the tools. When you ask God to forgive, and you know, we'd say, God, forgive what her mother and father did. And that still wouldn't come out. I said, why won't you come out? And it said, generations. Well, then we had to repent for the generations. See, and I was starting to learn that. That things passed down the mother's and the father's side, too. Fathers and mothers both. Well, anyway, I made this long appointment. I scheduled the whole day, marked out the whole day. And I knew I was going to have some great, big, terrible battle with these things. And before I got into that battle, I thought, dear Lord, I just want to bless her. I want to pray God gives her strength. This is going to be hard. I just kind of knew. And so I always never pray for a lady alone. I always have another lady there with me, you know. But I went over to her and I just stood behind her and I began to put my hands on her head and I began to just pray. God bless her and love her and every good thing I could think of. And then a thought came to me. I'm sure it was a thought sent from heaven to begin to pray in her the opposite of what was on that list. So I kind of pray in kind of lightweight, you know. And I remember somehow I got to a spirit of passivity that was on that list. And I thought, what would be the opposite of passivity? And the thought was the zeal of God would be the opposite. You can't be passive if you've got the zeal that Jesus had when he cleansed the temple. And so I remember praying so very earnestly, oh God, in the name of Jesus, fill her with the zeal of God. And as I was praying that earnestly like that, she began to vomit that thing out. And I hadn't told it to come out. And it was one of those links in that rotten chain. It was as big as those other spirits. And here it was coming out and I hadn't told it to come out. I'd only prayed for God to fill her with the zeal of God. That's a tool. A very powerful tool. And so from then I got up and you know what I did then? I knew I had it going now. I knew I was on a roll, man. I had the big mo going for me. How many of you know what that means? Momentum. Hallelujah. And I went right around the top of that list. I thought if the praying in the opposite works, I'm going to nail that foul spirit of abuse. I thought, what is that thing had mocked me and tormented me for 4 or 5 hours at a time. I couldn't get it out. A couple different days it had done that. I thought, I'm going to get you now. I thought, what is the opposite of child abuse? I thought the fruits of the Spirit. How can you abuse your children if you're full of love, peace, joy, goodness, patience, kindness? Right? Long-suffering, self-control, faithfulness. And I said, oh, God, fill her with these things. And I was just praying in those good things. And then I said, you foul spirit of abuse, come out. And then I'd go right back to praying in the goodness. I didn't spend much time casting it out. That thing came out within 4 minutes. It didn't speak. It didn't throw her onto the floor. It barely was able to growl a little bit. And it came out. Before we'd battled around just all over the floor, up, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit to say we went up one wall and then we rolled around and then we went up this wall. You know, a little bit of exaggeration there, but I mean, it was a terrible battle before. But this time, I just pray in the opposite, whatever it was. Witchcraft and sorcery, what did I do that was the opposite of that? Well, that was cursing people. So I prayed in anointings for intercessory prayer on one of those things. And on everything, I just pray in the opposite. And I just got them all out. And, well, we got to where it was kind of lunchtime there, and we stopped, and we all went to the McDonald's together and bought a lunch. And then she was afraid that if she came back, she was going to lose her lunch. I said, no, you're not. Not this time around. And we went back, sat her down, and again, I'd start praying in those good virtues, and she was just easily delivered. All right, that's a tremendous tool. So I went back and I was so excited. I preached a message called Praying in the Virtues. And I have that message with the full list. That's back in one of my tapes in the Ancient Bondage series. It's back there where I listed all the 28 things and the opposite things. I was so excited. And then, you see, I got focused on what God wants to put into people. It's important to know what God wants to get out of people. But if I had to choose between praying things in and casting things out, if I could only pick one, I'd choose praying things in. Because it can flush out the bad. But if I just cast out the bad and they don't get the good stuff, then they're empty like a house, swept and clean and unoccupied. So then I began to look for all the different virtues. See, there's oodles of different evil spirits. And man, we can buy book after book with names and names and computer lists of evil spirits. You know, we can get so focused on evil spirits that we'll get ourselves all messed up. We need to know the tactics of the enemy, but I'll tell you what we need to know more than anything is what does God want to give his people? See, what if I wouldn't have known to pray in the fruits of the Spirit? What if I hadn't known there was such a thing as the zeal of God? And so I begin to think, God, I want to know every virtue of the Holy Spirit, every single thing the Holy Spirit wants to do for people. I want to know that. I want to be able to pray that in. And I taught on that for 20 weeks. Somewhere about 20 weeks. Now I want to just tell you how much God wants to give you. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. See, because every single person needs to be thinking that the Holy Spirit has more good things and the devil has bad things. Can you say a good amen to that? And they're all free. Everybody say they're all free. They're all by grace. You don't have to earn them. You can pray them in. That's right. Now, this is a tremendous scripture. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us. Everybody say, given us. Now we're going to stretch our arms way apart. Everything we need for life and godliness. That's right. His divine power has given it to you. It has to do with life and godliness. It's given to you. And it comes through your knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The more you know God, the more you get all these good things. This morning. Through these, through what? His own glory and goodness. He has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, God taught me something, that spirituality doesn't come by commandments. It comes by promises. Now, listen to me. You're here because you want deliverance? Let me tell you something you need to get delivered of. Religious spirit. And you can kill people. I know a pastor in our city who is a practicing Satanist. He's masquerading as a charismatic pastor. And all they have to do to kill people with the Word of God is preach legalism or perverted grace. You can preach the Word and murder people. A lot of churches are just killing fields for the devil. That's all they are. You see, if you think you're going to get spiritual by the commandments, you're just under the law. You get spiritual by the promises of God. He gave you His promises so that through them, you could participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption. Now, people that don't believe in deliverance or anything, they see that something's wrong with you, they'll come up and they'll give you a long list of commandments. They say, well, you're not doing this verse, sister, and you're not doing this one, you're not doing this one, you're not doing this one. We're going to fix you here with all these commandments. That's legalism. They say, well, Brother West, what about the commandments? Well, I love the commandments of God. I'll race you to keep the commandments of God any day of the week. I don't think you'll find that you love the commandments any more than I do. But I'll tell you what, you got to know what the promises are for, and you got to know what the commandments are for. Now, road signs that say Texarkana, so 100 miles, or whatever. They don't give you any gas to get there. They just tell you which way to go. The commandments of God say, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Tells you which way to go. It's a good way to go. You go there, you'll have a good time. But they don't put the gas in your tank to get there. But the promises of God put the gas in your tank to follow the commands. And spirituality comes by the promise. So you want to get spiritual? And you got to receive spirituality. Everything you need for life and godliness has been given to you. And you don't earn it, and you don't manufacture it. It's from God. And then you study the commandments so that you can say, oh, wonderful, I'm supposed to love my enemies. Hallelujah, that's going to be so much fun when I go down the road and I can live in agape love and love my enemies. I want to go there, God. I need some gas. And God will give you the gas. But you know what your religion's like when you don't pray in the virtues, when you don't receive the free graces of God? You're like a guy pushing his car down the road towards Texarkana or Chicago or L.A. or something. Pushing the car. You're pushing your religion. It's all your own effort. Jesus wants you to get in that thing, put the gas in there, and let Him do the work. God wants to give you the promises. And, you know, the devil wants to mess you up in your religion so that it becomes a big bummer and a big snare and a big trap. The more commandments you hear, the sicker you get. And the devil wants to just stand there and condemn you and say, here's another one you're not doing right. Here's another one you're not doing right. Here's another one you're not doing right. You're not doing this one right either. Bam, 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 condemn. Whack. Pretty soon, the devil says, you're not doing it very good. Why don't you just give up and go back to bars? You're happier there than you are now. You say, you're right, devil. I think I will. That's where people backslide. Spirituality comes by the promise. Everything you need for life and godliness is given to you. So what do you lack? What do you lack? You just have to figure out what you lack. What are you going to do to get it? You're going to go out and try to produce it? Are you going to go try to earn it? No, just receive it. Now let me show you that God's invited you to a big feast. I didn't mean to close my Bible, but let's open it back up if you closed yours. I want to show you something. 2 Peter. All right. Now it says, for this reason, in verse 5, for this reason, the reason that everything's free and that all this life and godliness is going to come to you through the promises, and you're going to escape the corruption through the promises. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now, I used to misinterpret that all the time, but I'm going to tell you exactly what that scripture means. Now listen to me. Everybody look up here and listen. How many of you have ever been to a buffet? They give you a plate, and they say, go down through the line and pick out whatever you want. I want you to know this is a Holy Spirit buffet. And God paid it for you. He paid the price of the buffet with the blood of His Son,
Jesus. And he gives you a plate called faith. And that plate isn't even of yourselves. Not even that is of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. He gives you the plate. And he says, now, you just have to make a little effort to add to your faith what's free on the buffet. Take that faith plate. Go down through the line and receive some goodness. And after you receive some goodness, receive some knowledge. And receive some self-control. And receive some perseverance. And receive some godliness. And receive some brotherly kindness. And receive some agape love. And have a feast. Say, that's too good to be true. I don't believe that, Brother Wes. I know, that's why you look so sour. But I love you anyway. And I'm going to convince you by the grace and help of God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 9. I want you to know that God has a feast of grace. And instead of condemning yourself and trying so hard in yourself and getting nowhere and getting all bummed out, you just have to take the free gift of God's faith that he gives you and go through the buffet. Now look at Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. You didn't have to build it for her. She's hewn out at seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. You don't have to bring your own silverware to this feast. You don't bring anything. She sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest points of the city, let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come eat my food. What is that food? The food of wisdom. The food of discernment. It's all prepared for you. Are you simple? The devil says, yes, you're simple, you're stupid. Well, don't sit around and let the devil condemn you anymore. When God is calling you to come to the feast, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of understanding. Turn to Matthew 22:4. The parable of the wedding banquet. Then he sent out some more servants and said to them, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Everybody say, everything is ready. You ever hear your mom say, supper's ready. Dinner's on the table. Did you have to go in and mash the potatoes when your mom said it's ready? Did you have to go prepare the gravy? Did you have to do anything? No, if they say it's ready, it's on the table. You just got to come and do what you do best. How many of you know what that is? Amen? Receive and be blessed. Now, that's the way God is. Because if you go to prepare something, I want you to know it won't be the right thing anyway. Turn to Ephesians 1:3. How many of you think after four big, powerful scriptures, you ought to be convinced? Well, Brother Wes. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now it's there. You just got to receive it. It's in the buffet line. You just got to receive it. Turn over to Galatians 5:22. It's just right across the page. Here's the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, the fruit of the Spirit means that only the Spirit can grow it. The fruit of a banana tree, what does that mean? Only the banana tree can grow it. Fruit of the orange tree, only the orange tree can grow it. Fruit of the apple tree, only the apple tree can grow it. And the fruit of the Spirit can only be grown by the Spirit. Now, that's the truth. And that'll run right up against your false religiosity and slam right into it. I pray it runs right over it. Hallelujah. Knocks it out of the way. Because I'll tell you what, if the devil can't get you to smoking dope and going to the prostitutes or watching the X-rated videos or the R-rated videos, you know what he'll do? He'll get you trying to love people in your own power. He'll get you to try to be self-controlled in your own power. And he can make you bound and sour and bitter and a Pharisee and twofold son of hell with religious bondages where you're trying to be spiritual in your own power. power, and you're proud of it. That's what the Pharisees were. You can't produce a fruit of the Spirit. How many of you think you can produce a banana by putting your hand out there and thinking real hard and trying to grow bananas on the end of your fingers? It'd be easier for you to grow a banana than it would be for you to grow a godly love in your own power. That's the truth. Everybody say, that's the truth. It'd be easier for you to grow an apple or an orange on the end of your fingers than for you to be able to grow godly self-control in your own power. I'll tell you what false fruits do. The Holy Spirit taught me this. There's false fruits, false love, false peace, false patience. All these things where we tried to get spiritual in our own power. It turned into a trap. You see, we know the Bible says we're not supposed to sin in our anger. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. So we take all these false fruits that we develop and we stuff the anger in and we put a cement cap over it. Oh, yes, I'm so joyful and peaceful. Faking everybody out when on the inside you've got tons of anger all blocked in there, but nobody knows it because you've got this nice false peace and false joy and false love. Faking everybody out. And then nobody knows how sorrowful you are. You got all this sorrow in there because you got this nice false fruit of joy up there on the surface, faking everybody out. And if I want to get out sorrow and anger with religious people, you know what I have to do? I have to take off the cap. I have to explain to them the false fruits that block that stuff in. The false self-control blocks in anger. Real self-control keeps it out. False joy blocks in sorrow. Real joy washes sorrow away. There's a whole lot of fakiness in the church. Maybe you might not have known that, but if you didn't know that, I'm telling you right now. There's a whole lot of fakiness and phoniness in God's church because a lot of people are trying to get spiritual in their own power. And if they think they got spiritual that way, they just got deceived. Now, one night in one of our services, I was praying for people to receive the heart of Jesus. Just love. The heart of Jesus is just love for people. He loves people. And as I was going down praying for people, there was a powerful move of the Spirit. They were just mightily getting ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And one of our men had a vision. And every time I laid hands on somebody to pray, a cardboard Jesus fell down. You ever seen a cardboard John Wayne? A cardboard basketball player like, who's it? Air Jordan? Michael Jordan? How many know the cardboard Michael Jordan can't slam dunk a ball? Can't run down the court. Can't make a good pass. He can't do anything but just stand there and look fakey. You love me today. Can you say, we love you, Brother Wes? All right. Because some of you are looking at me like a cow looks at a new gate, you know. Looking at me like a barn owl that got disturbed here. A cardboard Jesus can't do what Jesus can do. It can only look right under a certain circumstance. But if you look around behind it, it won't be the real Jesus. It can't do what Jesus does. And we've tried so hard in our own self to be like Christ when all the time there's a virtual feast. A feast of grace. Well, you don't have to bring your plate and you don't have to bring your silverware. You don't have to do anything but say, God, that sounds good to me. And when you pray for people, what is their bondage? Do they have a lack of patience? When you're casting patience out, pray real patience in. And I tell you, one of the greatest moves that we have in our church many times, I just stand there on a night when we emphasize deliverance. I say, what do you want me to do, Holy Spirit? You might speak to me, the fear of the Lord. And I know I'm supposed to pray the fear of the Lord into everybody. The fear of the Lord is a hatred of evil. I just went out. Now, I can't reproduce this, folks. You might think, man, Brother Wes, if you did that in your church, why don't you do it here? Well, God will have to do it. Amen? But I've seen many times where I just touch people and say, God, fill them with the fear of the Lord. And bang, 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 down into the power, one after another. Some of our greatest moves of God are not casting anything out. They're praying things in. So, what do we pray in? So many times, I know we have to be aware of the schemes of the enemy. We have to know about the evil bondages and things like that. But we ought to know even more about all that the Holy Spirit is and all that He wants to give us. So I want to give you just a brief description here, some of them. He wants to give you the true fruits of the Spirit. Say a good amen. Would you lift up your hands and praise the Lord now that you don't have to try to be spiritual in your own power? The promises to give you that spirituality. That's the truth. You can receive. And when you receive that gas to keep the commandments, run, run, run in the way of God's commands. Run, drive down the road, obey. Hallelujah. Of course we want to obey. We love Jesus. We want to keep all of His commands. It's a proof of our love. I tell you, works a whole lot better operating with His love. Hallelujah. All right? Here's some other things. I began to preach that series on the Holy Spirit. And the first lesson I was teaching was on motivations. Motivations for spiritual gifts. I have a series back there on spiritual gifts. Some of this stuff is in that series. There's three motivations that Jesus has. The desire to bring glory to God, His Father. The desire to help people. And the desire to destroy the works of the devil. Thus, three thoughts and motivations ought to move you. They ought to control everything you think, everything you say, everything you do all day long. Ought to do everything about your life ought to be motivated by three motivations of Jesus. But guess what? You can't produce those any more than you can produce the fruits. But there is a desire that God wants to give you to bring glory to the Heavenly Father. It's an addiction to bringing glory to God. It's the strongest addiction in the universe. Nothing compares to it. It's what took Jesus to the cross. It's what held Him to the cross when He had the power to descend from the cross and torch the world. But that love, that desire to bring glory to God by completing and finishing the work God gave Him to do, that addiction to bringing God glory held Him to the cross and redeemed the world. Hallelujah. Then we ought to be just filled with the desire to love people. You can't manufacture that love. You're not the source of it. And your version will be a very poor substitute. And then, folks, every time we see the devil, how many of you know we ought to kick him? Every time we see a work of the devil, we ought to destroy it. I mean, our mentality is we love God, we love people, and we want to destroy the works of the devil. And so I thought, dear God, I want to pray for these people that they get these motivations. If we would get that through our head, we would take off like a rocket in our spiritual growth. But until you realize that you can receive spirituality, you're like a rocket tied and chained down, and you can cast out and cast out and cast out, and if we get everything out of you, you still won't take off. You don't have any rocket fuel. So I went down praying for the people. And this man that sees in the Spirit saw, I was praying, God, give him the desire to glorify You. Give him the love for people. Give him the desire to destroy the works of the devil. And in the Spirit, this is what it looked like. This man saw this vision. In the Spirit, God was putting white paste all over us. It looked like Elmer's glue. Everybody I prayed for was getting covered with Elmer's glue. And God spoke to him and said, I'm putting those divine motivations on, and they will cause the gifts of the Spirit to stick to those people. I'm going to send my angels with the gifts of the Spirit, and if you'll keep those motivations, I'll give them to you. All you have to do is exercise choice to keep them. And if you'll keep those desires, when the angels come with the gifts of the Spirit, it'll stick to you. You want to be used by the gifts of the Spirit? Desire to bring God glory. Desire to help people. Desire to destroy the works of the devil. Now, God will give you motivations. He'll give you fruits of the Spirit. Everybody say, He'll give me fruits of the Spirit. Say, He'll give me the motivations of Jesus. All right, here, Romans 1:11. Look at Romans 1:11. Paul said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now, you know what the devil's doctrine is? Only the strong get spiritual gifts. But that's not what the Bible says. God gives the spiritual gifts to the weak to make them strong. Everybody says, well, in that case, I can get spiritual gifts. Say it out loud. In that case, I can get spiritual gifts. Let that truth get all the way through to you and get encouraged. See, look, the devil says to you, you're not strong enough to operate in the gift of miracles. You're not strong enough to operate in the gift of faith. Well, you're not strong enough to prophesy. Well, you're not strong enough spiritually to have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Well, you're not strong enough to do this. You haven't gone to Bible college. Well, you haven't fasted 40 days. And the devil just goes on and on and on. And you just think, well, I just got to stand at the entrance of my tent while I watch Moses go out there and have a face-to-face meeting with God. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit has a feast, not only of the fruits of the Spirit, but of the gifts of the Spirit. And God gives them to the weak to make you strong. That's the truth. Recently, I had a lady that came out of a church where the pastor, I told you, was a Satanist. She'd been cursed. They put all kinds of blood from victims and stuff in the communion elements, do a big ceremony to the devil, dedicate the communion stuff to the devil, serve it to the people. They had all kinds of tricky ways to get people demonized. That lady was so bound. She'd drive into the church and I'd walk out to, and the demons would come up in her and make her drive away in the van. And one day I said, stop in the name of Jesus. And she had to freeze right there. And the van stopped. And then we got her out of the van. But we've been working with her for several days, you know, different appointments. It's been a huge battle because many of the assignments were from other cities, like Dallas and Minneapolis. They're sending witchcraft from other cities trying to destroy this woman. I had another little weak Christian girl that had been raised in brutal occultism, ritual murders and all that kind of stuff. And we were just getting her delivered, you know. Every time she comes to church, she gets deliverance. And yet God used her the other day to do a powerful deliverance on this other lady. And she came in the office the next day and she said, I just got to work here for free for a while. She says, that changed my life yesterday. I saw God use me. I am so encouraged. And that's what God wants to do with you. God wants to have you be used of Him. You get encouraged. You find out it is all by grace. And you'll become strong. I remember one time this guy, he's pretty famous. He's been even on the national television. I won't tell his name, but he was a victim of a drug ring, a child prostitution ring, a satanic cult. One time they took him up in an airplane, threatening his life, tied a rope around his foot, threw him out of the airplane, let him dangle. Told him, next time we'll let you go if you don't come back to our group. And I got him in there, and I knew I was going to have to cast out all kinds of perversion. And I said, this is going to be a battle. You need the Holy Spirit to make you strong. Used to be, in my old religious mindset, I thought God only gives the baptism of the Holy Spirit to everybody that's perfectly clean. Well, you got to get saved to get the Holy Spirit, and then your spirit's clean. But there can be all kinds of junk in your flesh. And the Holy Spirit isn't the least bit afraid of that. I mean, He elbows in. He powers in. He boots out the enemy. He gives you strength in your spiritual man so that you can go through the deliverances. God wants to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up to God and thank Him for a minute. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And here's something else He wants to give you. Psalms 126. Have you ever seen people filled with holy laughter? Sometimes in deliverance sessions, people be smitten with holy laughter. I've recorded them laughing. Sometimes I have seen holy rollers. No joke. I mean, when I was a kid, I just heard about holy rollers. Not anymore, honey. We do it at our church. And I'll tell you when it happens. It happens when the people get smitten with holy laughter. When the deepest sorrowing bondages are coming out of them. And God just smites them with holy laughter. They'll just lay on the floor and flip-flop. They'll just be gasping. And it's the funniest thing in the world. You say, I don't see any place in the Scripture. That's just because you don't know the Scripture well enough. Hallelujah! People are so quick to say, that's not scriptural. Be careful when you say that. Better read the Bible again. Amen? Psalms 126, verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. When the Lord brought back the captives, God wants to give you that holy joy. Look over at Isaiah 11. I'm hurrying just as fast as I can. And we'll see what God will do for us here in our midst. Isaiah 11, talking about the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon Jesus, the Christ. And here's some other things from the Holy Spirit. And every time you see something in the Holy Spirit, get the idea. You can pray that into people. You can receive that. This is the Spirit of the Lord that will rest on him. Don't you think he wants the same Spirit to rest upon his body? We are the body of Christ. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel. That's how to apply the wisdom and the understanding. The Spirit of power. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And the Spirit of the delight in the fear of the Lord. Sevenfold Spirit of God. All right, the gifts of the Spirit, you know them from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Three power gifts to know. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Somebody says, I can't understand the Bible. I have trouble understanding the Bible. I lay hands on them. I say, dear God, give them the word of knowledge to understand words, to understand truths out of the Bible. The Bible says God gave Daniel and his three friends special knowledge to understand all the learning and literature of the Babylonians. If God can do it for them, God can do it for us. Everybody just learn how to ask. Just learn how to ask. Come on, say it. Just learn how to ask. Praise God. And there's three gifts to give you power to tell. The gift of prophecy. The gift of tongues. That is when God is springing the tongues from heaven and speaking it out to men. Usually tongues is going up to God and no man understands him. We speak mysteries in our spirit. And it's nobody's business because we're speaking to God, not to men. But when God speaks through us, that's a special gift of the Spirit to be interpreted. And then there's the gift of interpretation. And then there's three gifts to give you power to do. The gifts of healing, the gift of faith, and the gifts of working of miracles. I thought, Brother West, you had to be extremely spiritually mature to operate in those gifts. No, it doesn't work that way. God gives you gifts to make you strong. Now, he may not give you a total super ministry anointing before you're ready to handle it, because that could be hard on you. Amen? You could trip up with that. But I'll tell you what, he wants to give you good things to encourage you. All right? James 3, 7. See, here's another thing from the Holy Spirit. And I think I'm starting to close now. How many of you know what that means? I'm on my first close. You never know how many closings I have, but at least you know I'm on the first one. All right, James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Now see, you can say, God, give me that pure wisdom. It's peace-loving. You can say, God, give me that anointing to be a peace-loving person. The wisdom of heaven is considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now, this morning, a lady came up to me and said, Brother West, from your sermon last night, I realized that I'm full of a critical spirit. Would you minister deliverance to me? I said, well, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll pray a prayer of agreement with you. And see, a lot of times, you ever ask the Holy Spirit, what's he want to do? You want to cast stuff out or pray things in? Because he just may not want to bother with casting anything out. He may just want to blow it out, wash it out, burn it out. Hallelujah. As the virtues roll in. So I just said, okay, sister, let me just pray a prayer with you. And, well, you're not a sister. I'll demonstrate on this sister. I said, oh, Father, I just ask you to give our sister the sweetest spirit. Just give her such a sweet spirit. Give her such a wonderful love for people. And she got slain in the spirit. Right? Now, it's going to be awful hard to be critical with a sweet spirit. With the love of Jesus in you. But you could get delivered of a critical spirit and be so empty that you still couldn't love people. I'm not against casting things out. I like to cast things out. I like to bash, destroy the works of the devil.
But you know, I love the Holy Spirit. I love the message of grace. All of it bought by the awesome, holy sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Christ exalting. That's God exalting. And those of us who believe in deliverance more than anybody in all the world, we ought to know all the different virtues of the Holy Spirit. We ought to know the chapters and the verses and all the different things God wants to give His people. Turn over to Ephesians. Look at chapter 1. And see what Paul prays into people. Verse 15, chapter 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, people say, where is deliverance in the Bible, Brother West? Here it is, right here. Here's some of it. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Have you prayed that for each other? Have you prayed that for yourself? When you go to minister to somebody, learn what to pray in. You can have 10,000 demons to cast out and still miss it if you don't know what to pray in. And Paul knew what to pray in. And he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He's called you and the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And his incomparably great power for those who believe. His resurrection power. Now listen. Different Wednesday nights, sometimes God has told me to do this. One time He just told me, pray for that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened to know the hope of their calling. Now God has blinded the eyes of people. Or the devil, I mean, has blinded the eyes of people so that they don't have any hope. They don't feel like they're called to anything. Everybody look at me for a minute. Do you realize you're called to tremendous works right here in this life? The devil wants you to make you think that you're just average or a nobody or nothing with no call. That only a few people have a great call. And that's just because the eyes of your heart are blinded. And we need to pray that God will enlighten the eyes of our heart to see the hope of our calling. That not just for heaven, but also for here. We're called with a great calling. And then the Bible says that I pray that you'll have the understanding to know the riches of God's glorious inheritance in you. Let me tell you what that means. That means you're God's treasure. It means God's inheritance is in you. Everything that God loves and cherishes is in you. You're His jewels. You're His inheritance. And we go around thinking we're a hunk of mud. We go around thinking we're nothing. We go around thinking that God's probably angry at us, that He's despising us. He's in a bad mood today. Don't go near Him. When all the time God wants our hearts to be enlightened so that we could see Him smiling. We could see His hands outstretched. We could hear His ear all ready to hear our cry. Now one day I was going down this line. I was praying for this line of people. And I came to this lady who's raised in a family with 14 children. Her dad never hugged her, never kissed her, never said a kind word to her, favored the boys over the girls. Lots of verbal abuse. Never knew what it was like to have a loving father. I'm coming down the line, and as I get to this lady, God says, tell Leona. Shh. Tell Leona she is my everything. That's pretty heavy, God. I said, tell her she is my everything. So I said, Leona, I have a special word from God for you. God told me to tell you, you are His everything. And I'm thinking, God, that's so heavy. You better explain that to me. And so I explained it to her. The Holy Spirit just flowed through me. Because God is God, He loves differently than we love. Listen, if you had 100 kids, you'd give one kid a little tiny bit of time and another kid a little tiny bit of attention, another kid a little tiny bit of attention, a little tiny bit of attention here. But God isn't that way. Because He's God, He can give you all His love. And still have plenty of love to give all His love here. And He loves you. He loves each of you.
as if you were the only possession he had, as if there were no stars, no planets, no angels, no other people, as if you were his everything. That's the way he loves you, as if you were all he had. And you say, how can you prove that by Scripture? Because God gave Jesus to die for you. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. He loves you like you're his everything. How many of you know Jesus is his everything? He loves you with the same love. Hallelujah. Close your eyes and lift your hands and thank God for that. And the eyes of your heart will start being enlightened to know that he's got a rich inheritance in you. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to open the eyes of our hearts right now so that hopelessness can't be blinding them. And Lord, they can't go around feeling like a nothing anymore in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to let the light of your love shine in. Give all these people here today the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better, and enlighten the eyes of their heart to the hope of their calling, so that every one of them is stirred with a great hope to know what they're called to, wonderful things. And let each of them feel absolutely, totally precious in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, then there's all the spiritual armor in Ephesians. Did you know that that's a grace of the Holy Spirit too? There is a belt of truth that you can ask for. And we pray for people. We say, God, if I'm trying to cast out a lying spirit, I start praying, God, fill them with truth. Did you know that there are demonic armor, helmets of hopelessness, capped on people's heads? When I'm trying to get the hopelessness out, I say, God, put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. Did you know there's breastplates of rebellion? Where people, you hear about people all the time having their walls up, their little self-protectionism. Did you know that's just satanic armor? And how are you going to get rid of that? You pray in the real armor. God's got so much good for you. It's all free. Come to the feast. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. And if that weren't enough, he said, be of good cheer, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God's going to give you everything. Hallelujah. Everything there is, you're going to be a joint heir. You're inheriting it all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands up and bless the Lord. Thank him that it's true. It's true. God loves you. Hallelujah. You're precious to God. God has a hope and a future for you. God has a wonderful calling for you. God wants to give you gifts and anointings and graces to make you strong. God wants to give you that love. You had a difficulty loving that one child, and you've been condemned about it. But God just says, I'll give you the love. I'll give you the patience. You don't have to live in that condemnation anymore. I'll set you free from that condemnation. Just receive that love. Receive that patience. Ask him for it in the name of Jesus. Now let's just bless the Lord. Bless him with a loud voice. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Sodalita andelo lido moschenda li sashede minazzo shredo buta. Le no madale soshida le tota bedeli soshinda li buta. Le non dida le sashita andelo bosa shredo luda le mandai. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now close your eyes for a moment. I want us to surrender the false fruits of the Spirit. I want us to surrender our spirit of religious works, trying to earn our way to heaven. There's all kinds of those old religious spirits where we've been trying to be spiritual in our own power. We'll just surrender them. Those are the things that are blocking in the anger and the sorrow. And they may block in a bunch of other stuff too, but I know they block in anger and sorrow. Repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am so glad that you have provided everything I need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus. I thank you so much for the fruits of your Spirit, which you are going to bring through me. Your Spirit is going to grow them. I'm going to receive them. I thank you. And I want you to know, I'm surrendering all the fruit I work so hard to produce. It's just like cardboard fruit. I give it up. It's not your fruit. It's just my fruit. I humble myself. And I admit that it's not any good. I cast it away. I take off that cap. I'm exposing the anger and the sorrow. I want you to wash it out. Now come into me, Lord. Fill me with real love, real joy, real peace, real patience, real goodness, real faithfulness, real self-control, real gentleness. By faith I receive in the name of Jesus. I just praise the Lord for a minute. I am going to tell some stuff to leave. I am going to tell some false fruits to leave. But how much more they're being washed out right now by the grace and love of God. Hallelujah. I've done generational deliverances on impatience before. And, you know, so I'm not teaching so much about what to cast out as just getting you, getting your understanding up to pray things in, pray things in. Have a mentality of praying things in. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Let's ask for some more things. Praise God. Some more good things from God. Praise God. Husbands, lift your hands up and ask God to give you that kind of love that Christ has for the church, for your wife. Ask God for it. You can't produce that in yourself. Father, give us agape love for our wives in the name of Jesus. Give us that great love that's so considerate, respectful, and tender, and kind. Now, Father, give the ladies that kind of love for their husbands, that agape love in the name of Jesus. Folks, this will wash away the anger. Hallelujah. All right, just keep your eyes closed. I'm going to tell false fruits to leave. You let them go. And when they go, they're your coping technique. They're what blocks in the anger and the sorrow, fools everybody, and gives you your false front. You have to surrender coping techniques. But that's what you said you did, so I believe you said the truth. All right, close your eyes. You tell these things to leave in your heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind every demonic bondage that's come through trying to produce love in our own power. And I command that false fruit of love to come up and out of every single person here in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll get out of them in the name of Jesus. Father, pour in the real love right now. Pour in the real love in the name of Jesus. Take out all that old false love, Holy Spirit, because we want the real agape love. Now I command that false joy that's blocking in sorrow. You get out of these people right now. That false joy that's just nothing more than pretension and fooling people. Get out of our people now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, pour out the real oil of joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I command false peacemaking bondages that cause people to make peace when they shouldn't make peace. Get out of these people right now in the name of Jesus. Get out of them. Folks, let it go. Come out, all that old false peace spirit, that demonic peace. Loose them and be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We command false demonic patience that makes us patience when we ought to cleanse the temple. You get out of us. Everything that's causing a false toleration of evil. Get out. Everything that makes us tolerate evil and have a false patience when we need to discipline our kids. Get out of us and be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now keep going with me. We're just about done. I command false kindness to come out. Get out. Every time you see the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Sometimes we need to rebuke people. But false kindness won't ever rebuke people. Won't ever correct them. You're too kind to say anything. And that causes people to die to the left and right all around you. Causes your hands to be bloody. False kindness means you can never be a prophet like Ezekiel or Jeremiah. Because you'd be too kind. And so you'd heal the wound lightly. Get mad at this stuff. It sends people to hell. False kindness will cause you never to be able to effectively witness. You'd be so kind you can't warn the wicked. Now in the name of Jesus, I bind that false kindness. Get out of these people now, now, now. Loose them now in the name of Jesus. Get out all false kindness. uncleanness. Get out! I'll tell you what else it does. It causes some of you women to be doormats. You're letting your husbands run all over you. There's a false submission. God has a real submission. There's a demonic submission. Women that are just doormats, suffering abuse and all kinds of things, the devil keeps telling them how to submit. Just get rid of that false submission. Ask God for the real kind. And you will not submit to evil. You won't submit to perverted sex. You won't submit to being beaten and ragged around. You'll stand up and say, I'm a child of the King, and I won't be a party to perversion. Now listen, let's get rid of it. In the name of Jesus, I command demonic submission. Get out! Now! Loose these people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, fill us now with a real, true submission to Jesus. Submission to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. False kindness be gone. False goodness get all the way out of us. In the name of Jesus, fill us with real goodness, Lord. False faithfulness that causes us to be faithful to dead institutions and faithful to the traditions of men instead of faithful to God and His Word. Get out of us now! We break that old religious bondage in Jesus' mighty name. Loose these people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, all false gentleness, you get up and out of us. Now, Father, fill us with real gentleness, the kind that can correct people gently, the gentle tongue that can break a bone, the gentleness of Jesus that can correct people. And all that old false gentleness, you get out of us in the name of Jesus. Now, false self-control. What a faker that is. Tell it to leave. Get out of us. All that old false self-control that's blocking in all the anger. Come out of us right now. Everything that's controlling our anger by stuffing it. Get out of us now. All that false self-control that's blocking in the anger. Come out. Let it out, sister. Let it out. It's a deceiver. It's a deceiver. It's trapping in all the anger. Get out. All that old false self-control in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, give us real self-control to not give in to anger in the first place by the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and thank God. We'll tell that old anger and sorrow to get out. Now, the lid's off of that stuff. Hallelujah. I want a couple men to move the pulpit real quick. Hallelujah. Everybody that knows you have a big problem of anger and sorrow in your life, can you move those monitors out of the way too, fellas? The lid's off of this stuff. Praise the Lord. If you have a big problem with anger and sorrow in your life, just come up here. I want to just pray for you, and we just want to ask God to fill you with the opposite. Hallelujah. Give you a good old oil change today. Hallelujah. Flush your radiator. Hallelujah. Wash you out. Get right up front to where if you did fall, you wouldn't fall into chairs. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. Everybody just be praising God. Worship God. Thank Him for the truth of His Word. The truth today. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm going to command anger and sorrow to come out, and let it out. Let it out. Because Jesus has something better for you. Hallelujah. We're going to pray something in first. All right? Lift your hands up to heaven. Agree with me. Hallelujah. Father, into our hearts now pour agape love. Pour in the ability to forgive people. Give us that ability to forgive like Jesus forgave. Pour it into us right now. Wash away the self-pity. Wash away the anger and the fury and the rage. Wash it out of us, Lord. Pour in compassion. Compassion for those who victimized us. Instead of feeling so sorry for ourselves, help us to feel sorry for them with a true, godly sorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I bind anger. You get out of these people. Now, all that old anger that's been pooled down in them, you come up and out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command the anger. Loose them. I need some other ministers and some other people that will just help me war in the Spirit, just to come up and circulate around to the people and do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. There's I need some help. Folks, pray in the Spirit right now. We're just at a breakthrough point, and I need some help in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Get out! Sorrow! Now, keep your eyes open. Loose this sister! Loose her! Sorrow! Worship God now. As you give God glory, He'll move stronger. If you're standing in back of somebody, keep your eyes open. If they get slain in the Spirit, just catch them. sorrow and anger. Loose my sister now! Loose my brother, sorrow and anger. Loose him. Now, get out! Loose my brother, get out! All that sorrow and anger. Loose him now! Fill him, God, with love in the name of Jesus.
I'll give God glory when the Holy Spirit's moving strong. He'll do more if you praise him. If you give me the glory, you'll shut off the flow. If you give God the glory, he'll keep moving. He'll keep moving. And he's doing an important work.
Praise God. Heal her, Lord. Pour in the love. Give her the victory right now over all this whole sorrow. Pour in the oil of joy. The oil of joy. In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, praise the Lord. Now, if other people come up to the front row here that you didn't get prayed for, and just hallelujah. Everybody praise the Lord.
Yes.
Okay, this sister's saying to me that she's too kind, and too she's paying off drug debts for her son, and she's just under bondage to this false kindness. Let's see what God will do for her now. Let the love of God go out. Now, Father, she wants to love her son, and we ask you to give her that love that Jesus has. Give her that ability to do warfare in the Spirit. Give her the real love of God. Now, we surrender that false love and everything that has to do with no discipline. In the name of Jesus, fill her with discipline, discipline, discipline. Get out now! Everything that blocks discipline, come out of her. Everything that heals the wound lightly, come up and out of her. Come out of her. Everything that heals the wound lightly, I bind that, I break it. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. This lady has a son who wants to be a minister, and she says he's been taken over by Satan. She wants prayer. Would you pray with me? Just pray with me now. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll bring repentance to this man in the name of Jesus. We ask you to forgive his sin. We ask you to deliver him from every trap and snare of the devil that's taken him captive to do his will. Satan, we bind you and we break your power over his life in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, reveal your truth to this man in the name of Jesus. Reveal reality to him. Reveal your truth to him. And lead him, Lord, back to yourself in the name of Jesus. Comfort this mother, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's all just stand and give the glory to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord for being in our midst. And pray that he'll use us again. And that he'll keep moving in our services. And just give him all the glory. Because if I get any glory, then I won't get used again. All right? Not to the degree. The more glory we give to God, the more his Spirit will come and do wonderful things for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, before we close, now, you can ask wonderful blessings to come into the people around you, see. And you can pray in some wonderful character quality or gift of the Spirit. You can ask God to bless people, and you just want to learn how to do that. And could you just ask a little blessing right now on somebody standing next to you? Just hold their hand or something like that and pray a loving, kind, wonderful prayer of blessing and encouragement. Each of you, use that access to the throne of grace that you've got. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got access. You're a child of God. Ask a blessing on someone. Learn that you yourselves, you can do exactly what I'm doing. Pray in. Hallelujah. If God tells you you cast something out, do it. But learn how to pray things in. Pray in. Blessings, virtues, strength. Pray strength for each other. Father, bless my sister with strength. Give her strength in her inner being, Lord. Hallelujah. Give her new strength and new power Give all these dear people strength and power in their inner man, Lord. Power to be blameless and holy. And power to grasp the love of God. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you. We give the glory to Jesus and tell of His love, and tell of His love. We give the glory to Jesus and tell of His wonderful love. Praise the Lord. Well, go walk in the love of God. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.